If you'll turn with me to Mark 10, I want to read a few verses in Mark 10 and then go back to Matthew 10. And the Lord had been giving utterance, a sound mind, a clear voice. I'd like to speak to you on a crossless Christianity. I don't know if there are books that have been written with that title. I don't know that. There ought to have been, to my way of thinking. And there may be some good ones out there. But we will trust the Lord to give us understanding here. Would you bow with me? Our Father, you've seen fit to bring your people here into another year. Your grace has abounded. Your mercy, your tender mercies, and your long suffering. Thou art our God, and that is forever. Christ is our great Redeemer, and we would give Him all that is due. Our salvation wasn't based upon a decision. But our salvation was the Lamb of God by the Spirit quickening us, making us alive, aware of our condition, and leading us to Christ our Lord. We continue pleading with you, dear Lord, that you would build up Zion, for we know when she is built up, then our Lord shall appear. Develop these, grow them in grace and in knowledge, in sincerity, and with an honest heart, daily seeking Thee. Father, I pray that you might help these in hearing. And I pray that you might give that is worthy of their time to sit and listen. Be gracious unto them and to the speaker. For though we can do all things in and through Christ, without Him we can do nothing. So help us today. Be our focus. And in mercy, draw us that we might run after Thee. My Father, give wisdom, give clarity and utterance. That it might be spoken in truth and with sincerity. Come, Spirit of God, how we need Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Tim mentioned, You've got another year. But the one thing about it, even in the day, God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. So we certainly can't boast in seeing another new year. But this is the day that the Lord hath made, and in this day thou art to seek Him, that you might be found in Him, having been clothed in His righteousness. How many more days any of us might have, we do not know, especially another year. And as each day comes to a close, as the sun goes down, would not we be considered very wise by knowing the true condition of our heart, the state of our soul? Unlike the foolish man that had built great barns and had nothing else to do, he was set up for life, talking to himself, soul, eat, drink, take thine ease. God said, no, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I challenge all of you, for we live in a day when most professing Christians live or rest on something that happened to them years ago in regard to the Lord Jesus. None of us should be satisfied with anything less than a present inward witness of the Spirit of God. This day, not yesterday, not last year or 10 years ago. Now in Mark 10, we come to a young man that approached the Lord Jesus in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? He didn't have Jesus as God. He knew he was a good teacher. He knew that he could provide for him instruction into inheriting eternal life. But our Lord stopped him. Don't be calling me good. There's none good but one. That is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross, and follow me. You know the remainder of that. Jesus loved him. As Matthew Henry wrote a series of commentaries on all the Bible, though he did not get to finish them, somewhere he passed on before that was completed. But there was another, Matthew Poole. Mr. Spurgeon said, having read Matthew Henry as I have, And if I only had one choice, I think I might take Matthew Poole. He did not get through with all the Bible. But he said that the love Jesus had here was not with a special saving love, for he sent him away sad. His love to him was a common love, as he loved all his creatures. I have no reason to doubt that, and would only add my own personal thought here. If it was a special saving love, then somewhere later in life, this young man came to know the Lord Jesus as God and as Savior. But that's for another day. We will leave that there. A crossless Christianity. Jesus told him, take up your cross and follow me. If this young man had lived from the middle of last century on up until today, he would readily have accepted what's put out there by way of evangelism. All he would need to do, just acknowledge he was a sinner and let Jesus come into his heart. And if he's watching, then I'm sure that on the television or through the radio that they would give him a number to call and they would tell him about living a Christian life and send him a Bible and maybe free information. And he would go away from them as a saved individual. He could do all this, even acknowledge Christ as God later on, and yet never introduced to a personal cross. That's what I want you to consider with me today. Now go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, we begin. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. That's very strange sounding today. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Take your cross. As many as there are here today, each one of us in our Christian walk would have a different cross. One fitted especially for you. Now it is that personal cross that's missing in today's Christianity. Just accept Jesus and you've got a ticket all the way to glory. not what Jesus Christ taught. If a man doesn't take up his cross and follow me, he'll lose his life. That cross fitted for you. Take up thy cross. Verse 38. His cross. What's yours? I don't know. It may be so weighty on you that you've never spoken to anyone about it other than requesting prayer. But your cross, like that of our Savior, has one end in its design. That is that you're not coming home that day, that they attach you to that old beam. Your death. I am crucified with Christ, the great apostle spoke. It is a present, ongoing, daily thing in my life. I'm crucified. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. 1 Corinthians 4, we apostles were appointed unto death. Have you read any such language or have you heard any in today's message, in today's gospel? You with the cross, that's missing. Not to be found in the preacher's message. Now Christ said here, he that findeth his life, that is here on earth, a career, you're lost in a career, you're lost in a high position, where you work in the company or in the city, popularity, high praise, all these things. He that findeth his life here below shall lose it. But the opposite of that is he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. There have been a lot of good, sincere people that have given up their life for good causes. You can't help but think of Mother Teresa and some others. Their mission is helping mankind. Now, I'm not saying this about her or anyone else, but most of them that give up their life devoted to others will miss heaven, for it was not with the intent of for his sake. Every child of God will be brought to eternal glory by Calvary's cross. Not four pieces of lumber, but the death. Nothing in those pieces of wood. Back in the 1300s to up 15, even into 1600s, they were selling pieces of the cross. If you get this, your life will be blessed. Nothing miracle in that wood. But the death of Christ was what procured to him and to you your cross. There is no merit in you dying. Death to a self-life. No merit there. You lose it for His sake. What's missing today in the gospel, children? Losing your life. I'm not talking about your heart stop beating. Are your lungs all of a sudden quit working? Are your digestive system or nervous system, all these things, quit? And life ends there. That's not the life that I'm speaking about. Now, if I mention life is as a vapor, it appears now and then look around and it vanishes. Or if I mention life is as a flower that blooms in the morning and in the afternoon it dies and withers. All that has to do with physical life. Ask a preteen, what is life? Playing with their friends, playing sports, hunting, doing all this. You ask a teenager, for some it's still sports, getting a diploma, having a family, having a career, a home, retirement. You're still talking about physical life. Your heart beats, but all it provides is a natural life for you here, no better than the beast of the fields. He that loseth for my sake. Now, if I speak that to you, I'm not talking about you giving up a family, you giving up a job, you giving up friends. Not talking about any of that. I'm talking about a complete devotion within, coming from an old man that's dying daily. One that has lost his life for Jesus' sake, he still can have a family. He still can work out there daily, providing. But you lose your life for him. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And try to get with me here. I know you might have a lot of plans this afternoon, celebration of a new year, but let it go, at least for a little. Colossians 3:17. The great apostle, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, do all for the glory of God. Everything. Now verse 23, same chapter. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now when you go out and you set out to do something required of you, it's not talking about that at that moment you got to stop and think, well, this should be done for Christ's sake. Now if you're running a power machine, you might end up with limbs cut off. Or you're working with electricity, you might end up dead from a voltage. Life. In your physical being, there is the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So don't misunderstand. I probably haven't made it too clear right there. But a man, a woman with life, only a life here, they try to find fulfillment in temporal things. What'll make me happy? I gotta go back to work Tuesday. What can I look for the next day is off? What can I do? I get in this drudgery in my daily chores. I've got nothing to live for other than my next vacation, my next visit somewhere, my next thing to do. But religion has devised a method for you that a man can go to heaven with the enjoyment of everything in the world below. And the only cross they proclaim is Calvary. For their Christianity is without a personal cross. It is that is missing. You made a decision. Maybe you were truly converted. I don't know. But what advancement have you made in dying to self and finding total fulfillment of life living in Him and for Him? That's what makes your day. Maybe in a devotion you hear a word from God. Maybe in another's voice they might have something to say to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's living. That within, seeking that which is above. Congregations today making up crossless Christianity, or they could sit there and love the preaching of the cross pertaining to the death of the Lord Jesus, and they could get all emotional if you went through the pain and the agony and the suffering and how He did it for them. And never speak on losing your life. You might enjoy singing the old rugged cross. It might have good meaning to you. Yet nothing, neither of these things. Preaching on His death, getting emotional when you think about His dying and suffering. Singing about the cross in so many different hymns, and yet you never have a cross in your personal life. And the only cross they want to hear about, they want to sing about, was that which brought the death of our Lord Jesus. They desire to take the name of Christ, be followers of the Lamb, give up their lives. Give up a few hours on Sunday and maybe a daily devotional, but that's the extent of them having a cross as an active part of their lives. Christ's poverty, Christ's humiliation, Christ despised by the world. Religion today, Christianity, want nothing to do with that Jesus. If they can have Him and the world, if they can hold on to Him and keep their personal sins, have Him, but maintain their own identity. This is what makes me who I am. This is what moves me to do what I do. And yet all the time, satisfied in hearing about Jesus and Calvary and Him dying. But they will gladly align themselves with a harlot system. That in His dying it might be for them and now they can enjoy the world. But never include or listen to any preaching of a cross, personal cross, applied to your own life. For how many have passed into eternity just this last year that sat on pews under a man interested in how many attend? His sole motive, get the crowds so they can keep up with my finances. Not interested in whether they go to heaven or hell. Oh, he's interested in them walking the aisle and accepting the little Jesus that he preaches so that he can have one more to send out word. We had this many baptized yesterday and this many saved. And yet, that congregation never heard about language like the Scripture teaches. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. Prove your own selves. Know ye not how that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobate? Yeah, that's in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5. How many today will ask honestly of the Lord, examine me, O Lord, prove me, and try my reins and heart? You that honest with God? You ask God to manifest to you that which is pulling the very reins of life for you? Your interest is in what people think. Your interest is in what you like here. But to ask God to prove me, I don't know if I'm up to that. Or this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Psalm 139. Know my thoughts. He's not seeing if he can get God to quit thinking about some other folk and turn his attention to him and know his heart. David is pleading that God might make known to him his own heart and his own thoughts and see if there be in me a wicked way. We don't even think like that. I was saved. I'm certain of it. I'm going to heaven. But for me to stop and think there might be a wicked way in me, or that my heart might be astray on this or that. No, that's not in the gospel today. That's not in your vocabulary. Except God has done something special for you. And so the majority of congregations today have nothing to do with the cross in their lives, though they readily accept the work Christ did on Calvary. And therefore, the title, The Crossless Christianity. Where they go, they belong. They gather to hear a positive, uplifting sermon. Don't know anything about the humiliation of Jesus if it means that I must follow Him in His humiliation. Don't want to hear anything about the world despising because I'm not going to do anything to offend anybody. Don't want to know anything about His poverty personally or religion, His being despised by the religious folks. I'm happy where I am. Everything's quiet and peaceful in my life. I'm doing very well. And don't you come in here and tell me that there's a cross. And God has but one purpose in your cross. And that's a death to self life. Now, when you get married, both are supposed to die to self as they live for the other. And then children come along, and that requires more of death to you. And you work when you're not able. And you go and you do because the family requires a part of you dying. And yet, in none of these things can there be death as far as the soul, natural man dying. Turn with me, I only have a few more, less than 20 at least. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Why do I expect to enter glory without a cross on me? Why do I believe that I can have all the world has to offer and still serve God? Why, children? We don't want to die to self. None of us. As many of the old writers talked about, you can nail your feet and one arm to the cross, but you still got another one free. You need help getting there. You definitely need help staying there because you're going to walk down. But see it through. Hebrews 5, 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. He, the Lord Jesus, learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Young man, if you want to go with me to be a follower of the Lamb, sell what you have. Give it to those that need it. Take up your cross and follow me. He never asked a child to do that in which he himself has not already been through. Though he were a son, the Son of God, in every aspect equal with the Father, wisdom, knowledge, infinite. There was no end to it. And yet, as a son, he had nothing. But like your children that come into the world, it takes them a little before they even recognize you as mom or dad. And you have to teach them. And they have to be taught. As a son, obeying the sufferings that was laid out for him. Folks, this is at the very beginning of his birth. Every day his living was about dying. And he learned obedience. The perfect, holy God-man. And being made perfect, I better be more specific in using that verse. As a human being, as the bridegroom, being made perfect in the things that he suffered and that he went through, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Son, you want to go with me? Take up your cross. And his obedience in and through suffering was brought into total submission to his Father's will. We grumble quite frequently. I don't know why God's put this on me. I don't know why I ran into this trouble today or last week. Everything was working out so fine for me. Good. Don't know what caused it. In yielding, quietly, thankfully, yielding to what God brings upon you. And so one day you can say to your Father, not my will, but thine be done. You mean that Jesus Christ had a will, or Jesus had a will separate from that of God? My Father, this is what you have appointed for me. If it is possible, remove this cup. But if that's not possible, then not my will, but thine be done. No, that for me. No, I want to live my life to the fullest and go to heaven at death. Don't you? I hope none of you answered yes. But then in our hearts, all of us know that is a fact. I want an easy road. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be ridiculed for my devotion to the Lord Jesus. None of us. So today, how many churches have been emptied? Or a different preacher brought in before they emptied any left. Because a cross was laid upon all professors of Christianity. And the old preacher knew personally, I'm not talking about me here, I'm talking about one out there. He knew about a cross, he was not asking them to consider something that he long ago dismissed. He expected them, as professing Christians, to follow the Lamb of God with a cross on them. And then the congregation gathers and said, I used to like Preacher Bill Dole, but lately he's been speaking more about death to self. Lately he's been preaching about us living with the weight of the cross on our back, our personal holiness, which is the outworkings of me dying to myself. Talking about living a holy, dedicated life by walking in the Spirit. No, none of that. I like this easy evangelism of today. Not in agreement to accepting Jesus and take this literature. And the literature has nothing whatsoever about dying to self. I don't know what happened to our old preacher. He was always such a nice man and a good preacher. Where did he get this taking up our cross and dying to self. Or nobody else out there is saying anything about it. If it doesn't change here, I'm going to find a different preacher. I've heard the one on Noble Street and Fifth Avenue. The pastor there has good sermons, doesn't keep his congregation too long, never demanding, always leaving them encouraged. Why don't we get a committee to speak to him and tell him most of the congregation is leaving? We don't like what he's turned out to be. Now, that, I've heard no one dare not even think that's even a conversation here. Turn with me to Isaiah, one in Isaiah and one in Jeremiah, before you get too discouraged. Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 and following. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit, and get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. When we walk in, Isaiah, we do not want to hear about this holy God. We had rather that you end up with preaching smooth things. You need not get the old sandpaper out to smooth out some of the rough places in our lives. We're fine the way we are. No. You caused the Holy One, and that's my longing here, children, that one day there will be absolutely no mistake about it. God Almighty appeared in a manifested way to we, His children. They didn't want that. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want the true God. They wanted something that was more sensitive to their way of living and not offensive. Now, next book over, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 38, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words to them, unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but their hurt. Let us put him to death and get him out of the way. We do not want someone telling us that we are going into captivity and that the king of Babylon is going to take us and our land and our city. Get rid of him. And to such weak preachers that bend with the least little headwind and bow to the wishes of men with no cross. I keep in mind what God said to Ezekiel, if you warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you've delivered your soul. If you don't warn him and he dies in his sins, his blood will I require at thy hand. And I have an honest desire to walk into the presence of God, having lied to none of you about the truth of God. I know that this did not set well. It's not as enticing to hear as if I'm preaching upon everything that's wrong in America and the world. We just don't want a cross. I like living. What do you mean, good master? Sell everything and take up my cross. Shall I bow to the wishes of those that would have a crossless Christianity and face an angry God? I don't think so. Or shall I try to declare the whole counsel of God and meet Him in peace? Which one would you do? And how will you, the rest of your days here, how will you live them in light of Christ teaching about a personal cross? Will that take a little root in you and spring up and live? That the life within is that which is being developed, and life within that which is being nourished. And you're fleeing from the things of the soul world for the sole purpose of meeting your Creator and Lord, whether you are a Christian or not. You'll meet Him as Lord. How is it with your soul, dear one? Tim, you come, if you would, lead us in our closing hymn.